The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Promescent. You know, here at Gas Digital, we're always trying to help people be better in bed, which is why I want to tell you about our partnership with Promescent, the premium sexual wellness company, which is fancy talk for here's how you can be a better lay. All right? Promescent is going to make you a better lover, a stud, the greatest thing that ever happened to whoever you happen to be sleeping with. And here we're libertarians. We don't judge. Get in there. As long as they're consenting, could be anything. Promescent has a patented delay spray that's going to help you last longer in bed. With Promescent, you can last longer, have more fun, and show your partner a really great time. So go to Promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM, you're going to get 15% off. Once more, it's promescent.com, and the promo code is PROBLEM for 15% off. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith. He is the king of the caulks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. What's up, my brother? I've missed you.
I've missed you. Tell me about Freedom Fest.
Oh, dude, Freedom Fest was incredible. I should start by apologizing for our podcast schedule or lack thereof.
You're having too much fun. You were doing too much freedom.
Well, dude, I was so busy the whole time I was there. I was just like constantly in events, and I thought I'd like find time to record, and I just didn't. So that is my fault. I will make up all of those episodes. That is a promise. And I also, yesterday, I had crazy... Dude, because of like weather, like I had like three flights get canceled.
You got the vids?
Huh?
You got the vids? You picked up the vids while you were out there?
I sure hope not. Although you seem to be doing great.
Oh, dude, I'm even better. You kidding me?
It's look the best everything. I've ever seen you.
My skin is good. I mean, I shadow at all the problems. It gave me stomach issues, and I'm like 10 pounds lighter. I feel great. I'll put it back on within a week, but for this next week, I'm just going to be glowing.
I'd say me and you have been close friends for about a decade at this point. Never seen you look healthier. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I was home. I showered a bunch, so my skin is clear and all my muscles grew in. I'm a new man. This is like a second better puberty.
Yeah. You're cleaner. You're thinner. You have more energy. You're more charming somehow. I don't know what it did. But I'm very, very glad to hear that you're feeling better and feeling better. And you beat that thing. No problem. Anyway, so I had...
Yeah, Chinese bioweapons got nothing on me. Fauci, what do you got next? I'll take it. Let's do it.
Dude, so I fucking... All right, so I had... I'll tell you this. So my little flight story. I mean, not that there's anything that entertaining about it or whatever, but it was just one of those like nightmare days of flying. And it wasn't... I mean, there was a little bit of them fucking up, but...
Which airline? Let's trash them.
It was United, but I won't even like trash them too much. They kind of did what they had to do and whatever. They were a little bit funky like any airline, but so I literally had the morning after Freedom Fest, yesterday morning, I got a flight. It was like a 10 a.m. flight, you know, direct flight from South Dakota home, first class, nice flight. Just going to get on there,
first
fall
class.
Asleep. Yeah, you know, you got to fly first class. So I'm sorry.
That's the presidential
sorry to
money.
All you poor people. but it's just, it's really, especially if you're over 6 feet, it's just, but whatever. So it's just nice and easy. Then they cancel the flight due to weather. So like literally the last night I'm at Freedom Fest, get a little text from them like, your flight's been canceled. And they're like, ah, oh, motherfucker. And then the only flight that you could get that day, unless I have to spend another day there, which like I had a great time there and everything, but it's like 5 days away from my girls. I got to get home, you know? So the only other flight they had was like dumb early in the morning. It was like 6 a.m. and there's a layover, which is annoying. And it's completely booked, so I can't get my first class seat. Anyway, so I go on that one. So it's like, all right, whatever. Got to go earlier and it's going to take way longer. So it's just kind of annoying. So I get on the first flight. It's fine. Bumped into Reed Coverdale in the airport. We got some breakfast together. It's like, hey, you know what? Came a little earlier. Caught a nice breakfast with my brother, Reed Coverdale. Everything's fine. I get to the layover, which was in Denver. And
I guess that went down. I don't know where South Dakota is. I don't know geography.
It's not,
it feels like you went west to come east.
Yeah, it's not on the way, but it's not. Layovers are not always on the way. You know, they send you to the airport where you have your flights coming out of. So I get there and then the flight's delayed. There's a whole fucking problem. Then they have a problem on the plane where they're like, okay, after the flight's been delayed a few hours, they're like, now this flight has to have a layover because they need to refuel the plane. Like,
Denver ran out of fuel.
It was like, I don't even understand exactly. I don't know how planes work. I don't know how they get them up in the sky and they fly. But it was some issue to do with Newark Airport where they had to stop off now in Atlanta and refuel. So now you're like, oh, it's just become like a
just seeing the whole country.
Yeah.
But just the airports.
So whatever. The flight gets delayed another time. Everyone there is annoyed. You know, like it's. Now we're going for another layover, something I've never done before. I've done a lot of traveling, but I've never done multiple layovers on a flight. By the way, still haven't. So we get on the plane and we're getting ready to go. It's like, okay, let's get over to Atlanta. Then I just got one short flight home. We go this now I've flown a lot in my life. This has never happened to me before. We get on the runway. We're taking off down the runway, full speed on the runway. The pilot slams on the brakes in the middle of it. Plane's like shaking and stuff, and it was pretty crazy. It was over very quickly, so it wasn't that scary, but then like as soon as it stopped, you're like, what the hell was that? And the pilot comes on as he's slamming on the brakes. He comes on over the loudspeaker, kind of frantic, you know, like not the way pilots usually talk, and he's like, stay in your seats with your seatbelt, you know, like stay in your seats with your seatbelt fastened, and like says it kind of frantically twice. And then we're like, well, the plane shakes a little, we go over to the side. Then the plane just drives off the runway, stops, and we're stopped there for about 30
Everybody
seconds.
Everybody out immediately.
The funny thing is you're almost expecting that, but then he comes right back on in pilot voice, and it's like, oh, we had a little bit of a problem. Looks like one of our engines didn't want to cooperate on the takeoff. So anyway, one of the engines failed while they're going down the fucking runway. I guess he made a good call, didn't take us up into the sky with an engine failed. I don't know how bad that situation is. Like, what do you do an emergency landing? Is it just like, ah, these other engines will carry us there, it's no problem? Or do you all just die? I don't know. Could be any of those options, or maybe some other option that I'm not aware of. I'm not an expert.
What needs to happen for
planes.
The slides to come out? The slides do look fun. They never use the slides.
Yeah, I've never used the slides. A little part of me wants to, but just...
Or the oxygen mask. Those are probably fucking cool, too.
Yeah. No, you know. Again, I have no experience with any of this, but so then
fill them with
nitrous point,
and just crash the plane. That's what I say.
Anyway, it's at this point they're like, okay, we got to take the plane back to the gate. And at this point, everyone's just thrilled to get off the plane. Like you're not even like, oh, I want to get home.
Like I'll walk like, home. I don't give a shit.
Like whatever, let me off here. Then they just keep. They're like, we'll get you another plane, but they just keep delaying it. Delayed. Like four times it was delayed, and finally the plane comes, and they're like, hey, good news, we'll fly you straight home. You don't have to do another layover. So anyway, ended up getting home yesterday, a little bit of a crazy day. And that I was going to hope to get right home and see if we could do a makeup podcast. But so that didn't work out anyway. However, that hectic day aside, Freedom Fest was fucking awesome, man. Just so much fun. A great time. It was a lot of work because I was hosting the entire festival, did a ton of shows. But it was awesome. It was really great. Just a ton of great people out there. A whole bunch of really great speakers and some all right ones. But it was cool. Got to hang out with like the entire crew. I didn't hang out, you know, as much as I would have liked to. But there was just a ton of work going on, and I had to be up early every day. But great to meet some people who I feel like I know, but I've actually never met. I've never met Clint from Liberty Lockdown.
That looks like a fun car ride.
I feel like I knew him already. It's a weird feeling, especially in this world now, where you'll get far enough into a friendship that it's awkward to be meeting that person for the first time. You know what I mean? But you're like, this is weird. Like, I kind of feel like we're close.
Yeah, that's from my coming to mail to people. They already have my kids, and then you're meeting them for the first time.
So you come up, you're like, oh, this is
my family, right?
Hi, nice to meet you. I mean, we're in love, but we've never actually done this before. Also, Jeremy Todd, I met for the first time. Love that guy. Trying to think, there are a couple other people who like met for the first time. I apologize, I'm just blanking. I didn't mean to offend any of those people. Guess I still don't know them. And then like all our people were there. So Reed Coverdale was there, all the Mises Caucus people like Michael Heiss and Angela McCardle, Maj Touré, got to sit down and have a meal with all those guys and do a little bit of plotting for the future. Right. Some conspiracies were hatched. So just a great time hanging out with all of them. Spike Cohen was there. Spike Cohen gave a fucking great speech, man. Really, really great speech. And I was proud. I thought he did a fucking great job. And it's interesting. So Freedom Fest, it's not like, you know, like at Pork Fest, where me and you were up there, right? Like Pork Fest is like, it was incredible. But it's like our people who are there. It's like hardcore libertarians. That's the crowd. Now, there's a diversity in terms of like, some of them are in the Libertarian Party. Some of them are like agorist type. Some of them are like free staters. You know, like not everyone's like in the exact same group. But there's almost no one there who's not like a true libertarian at Pork Fest. I'm sure there's a couple exceptions, but not too many. Freedom Fest is a humongous event. Like thousands and thousands of people there. But it's a mix. There's a lot of Republicans at Freedom Fest, so it's both. So it's kind of interesting.
They're freedom through war type people. Like, we need to go invade other places so we can be free here.
There's some of that for sure. But that's kind of cool in its own way, because then you get to kind of talk to those people and you kind of have the areas where we all agree. And then, you know, there's guys like me and Spike and Scott Horton and all these guys speaking who can really try to like nudge them in the right direction, or, you know, in the case of some, not so much nudge as just bash them over the head with irrefutable liberty arguments. So that part was cool. So the highlights for me, I'll probably miss some because there were so
Scott
many.
Horton in a suit, sexy as hell. He should become a full-time suitor.
Scott was extra sexy. No, Scott knows how to, when the moment calls for it, Scott'll throw on a nice jacket and tie and go show them. It's so funny because like people who know Scott Horton like us, you know what I mean? Like, you know him as like the dude, Scott Horton. And, you know, he's like this fucking skater kid who's just like literally like Scott would be. Let's just say if you were at a bar of like working class, regular schmoes, Scott would be just completely comfortable. Like, Scott's just a dude. You know what I mean? Like, just a real regular down to earth guy. But then when there are these fancy events, you know what I mean? And you're talking to like Republicans at a banquet hall and everyone's in suits and shit. Scott understands, like, you know, he throws on a suit and tie and all that, and he'll just speak calmly. And it's so funny to see it when you know him as the dude, because when he does that, you're like,
oh yeah, he's just like the most fucking brilliant guy you've ever seen in your life. Like, he's just throwing on a suit and tie and talking to these Republicans and knowing more than any of them with better arguments than any of them. Like, it was incredible. Dude, he did this panel. Man, I hope they release this video somewhere. But he did a panel with that woman whose name I'm blanking on right now. Raza something Ali or something like that. God damn it, I'm an asshole. I introduced her to speak to. She was very nice. Not taking any shots at her at all. But she was on this panel with Scott Horton, and she was basically arguing for on behalf of the U.S. Empire and the clash of civilizations, and that radical Islam needs to be defeated. And Scott just like, politely and in a non-hostile way, just ate her lunch. Like, just hand every point that she had. It was just like, nope, well, here's what happened, and here's what happened, and here's what happened, and here's why you're completely wrong. It was just so beautiful to watch, man. Everybody who was there, I know that this became like the talk of the festival. It was just this panel where Scott Horton just owned the entire room. And there were these moments there. I wish I could rewatch it, but there were these moments where, like, she said at one point, she was talking about the goodness of America and how we have to spread the goodness of America around the world. And Scott goes, the national security state is the worst part of America. And I'll, like, there's no way I want to spread that around the world. The CIA should be abolished. And it was just like the way he put it was so, and it's in front of this like very largely
waterboarding
Republican
is cleansing
crowd.
It's like getting baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cleansing. That's the goodness that we're bringing to people.
Well, right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Biden's trying to heal souls.
But instead of holy water, we have drone missiles, you know, like, yeah, it's just a nice, friendly baptism. But when she was first saying her things, like at the beginning, she was getting big applause in the room. Like, so much of the room was on her side. And it was just beautiful to watch them get just served. Like, it was like, let me just pry your jaw open and take a nice heaping spoonful of Scott Horton medicine. Swallow this down. It's going to be a bitter pill, but it was amazing to see. And by the end of it, he was just, I felt like he had just won over the room. It's just beautiful. I hope they post that for everyone to see online somewhere. Got to do a panel with Dave Rubin and some other people that was just really fun. Julie Borowski was there on the panel, and Lou Perez, and just like a comedy panel thing that was a lot of fun. There's a few other ones, like Naomi Wolf gave a really great speech on COVID tyranny and vaccine passports, and that was super cool to see like a lifelong Democrat, liberal, feminist, even, you know, being out there. Like, I think,
well, they're the ones having all the miscarriages, so
yeah, that's right. I think she's past that point in her life, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just more powerful. Then no matter what arguments we make, me and you being a couple libertarians, of course we're against the government intervention. Republicans, of course they oppose what all the Democrats are doing. But when you have like a lifelong liberal Democrat who's getting up there and saying like, this is like we are giving up on everything good about the United States of America if we go down this road. It's just really powerful. And so I was really blown away by how impressive she was. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Harry's. Everybody loves Harry's. It's the place to get razors and everything else you need for a great shaving experience. And right now you can redeem a Harry's trial set when you go to harrys.com/problem. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price, still as low as $2 per blade. Harry's blades are designed to stay sharp. In a recent study, guys who shave 4 times a week said their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. No gimmicky features. Harry's isn't going to give you 17 blades with a microscope on the end of the razor and all of this nonsense. It's a smart, simple designed razor that delivers a close shave all along the contours of your face at a fair price. Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades so much that they offer a 100% money back guarantee
on everything at harrys.com. And right now, Harry's is giving their best offer yet to Part of the Problem listeners. New customers can redeem a starter set. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value, all for just $3. Incredible deal. Truly, there's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/problem to try Harry's today. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, I'll tell you the moment that takes it all for me. That I thought was, for me, the best moment of Freedom Fest. Oh, I should briefly say, we did a stand-up comedy show at this venue downtown on a Friday night. That was killer. And everyone awesome. Who came out to that, it was just awesome. I was clean the whole week because I was not cursing and not being dirty or anything because, it's a fancy event that I'm hosting. But that one I got to just...
Was that attached with the event?
Yes, but they sold tickets separately. And it was off location and it was a brewery and show room. And so I just felt for this one, I can let it rip. And it was just, it was great. A few hundred people there packed.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was packed, standing room. It was just, awesome. Awesome show. I wish you had been there for the show. You'd have really enjoyed that. Anyway, so the, one morning, I think maybe it was Friday morning, I get up and I see there's a senator who's speaking, who I've never heard of before. And that's shame on me for not knowing who this person was. But there were a few senators there. Senator Mike Lee was there. He was great. It was really nice to talk to him. I've met him before, and he's a really great guy. And he's without a doubt the most libertarian conservative in Congress. As far as he's probably the best right winger in America. And he was great. But I've never heard of this woman before, Senator Cynthia Rummis. So, I'm I'm introducing a U.S. senator today. That's, that's enough to make you go oh, that's something, that's kind of interesting. But it's Freedom Fest. There's a lot of Republicans there. What I'm assuming I'm going to get here is your standard Republican, a Republican who comes to a Freedom Festival.
And Trump won.
Maybe something pro-Trump or something. We should have lower taxes. We're against communism. We're for capitalism. Just kind of the normal stuff that, that you would expect a Republican to say at a Liberty event. So I get there. I get backstage. And there's this guy there with her who's her top guy, advisor, or chief of staff. I don't know exactly what his title is, but he's there with her and he's going on with her. And I walk back there, and there's just this fucking huge, I think he might have been 7'5", this just gigantic fucking dude, military type looking guy, who's there with her. His name is Tyler Lindholm. I didn't know him at the time, but I walk back there and it's him and the senator. And one of the people from the team was hey, let me introduce you to the senator. So we walk over and Tyler makes eye contact with me. And he right away, he's like, hell yeah, Dave Smith. Oh man, dude, it's so nice to meet you. And so right away I'm taken back and I'm like, wait, what? What? He's like, I'm a huge fan. And then he goes to me, because this was the day after the Scott Horton panel. He goes, man, did you see Scott Horton on that panel yesterday? God, I love Scott Horton. And so already I'm kind of wait, who is this guy who is this advisor to a U.S. senator who's a huge fan of mine and Scott Horton's? So already I'm this is kind of interesting. Then I introduce them. Senator Lummis goes out there and gives what I think was a half hour, 40-minute talk all on fiat currency, fractional reserve banking, and Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Nice. And the evils of fiat currency, the evils of fractional reserve banking, how it destroys the economy, how she's trying to implement 100% reserve currency compliance in her state, and it's working, and all. And I'm blown away at this point. I've never heard any senator. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Rand Paul has said some great things about fiat currency before. I know he's pretty good on the issue, but aside from Ron Paul, I've never heard anyone in Congress start breaking down
you know, like she was getting into business cycle theory stuff. Like it was like, holy shit, this is incredible. And the guy, Tyler, was...
What state is she a senator from?
Wyoming.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, and the guy, you know, was like saying how he was a huge fan of Scott Horton and that, you know, like Scott Horton did great on this panel. So I'm like, holy shit. Like if she's good on war and good on monetary policy, this is just like, I'm blown away by it. So anyway, I ended up talking to Tyler a little bit more after, they gave their talk and he's like with this, with the, defend the guard guys, with the bring our troops home people. So he's like that guy, Dan McKnight, who I had on the show, who was also incredible. He's like in his whole group. Like, so not only did she, so then I go to her afterward, I saw the senator, Cynthia Lummis, and I said to her when she came off, and I was like, hey, can I just say, that was like incredible. Like I'm like in shock. I was like a U.S. senator who understands monetary policy. Like I feel like I just watched a unicorn on stage. Like this is amazing. And she points over to Tyler and she goes, well, I got a very good teacher over there. So not only is this guy great, but he's really got her ear. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, like, it's not like he gave her some talking points and then she was out there repeating the talking points. Like you could tell he told her some things. She was interested and she read a shit ton about it and now is like really good on all this stuff. So anyway, I just thought that was like worth letting you guys know. Keep your eye on Senator Cynthia Lummis. She's evidently in her first year over there. In the U.S. Senate, and that's like, whew, that's pretty incredible. If we got someone really good in the Senate, you know, that makes whatever, three, whatever it is. But that's something that's pretty cool. So anyway, yeah, so I talked to Tyler for a bit. He's with those guys. So, she's like really solid. I mean, she didn't talk about war in her speech, but I'm sure she's really solid on war if she's with the bringourtroopshome.us guys, you know? And she's definitely solid on monetary policy. And that's two pretty damn important things to be good on. Anyway, so that to me was the highlight of the whole thing. Finding out that there's
like a great... Check her out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we'll try. I'll try to reach out, try to get her on the show. I'd love to interview her. Okay. So
we're going to plug some dates. Washington, D.C. Coming right up, right around the corner. We got a great venue for it. If you can't find the ticket link for some reason, just hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. I will get it to you. That's August 8th. We've got live stand-up followed by a live podcast. And then, of course, Rochester coming right up, right around the corner. If you're up in the upstate New York region, travel. Those are going to be just in a comedy club doing stand-up. That's going to be fucking awesome. And then I got Nashville, August 17th. Hit me up as well. We're doing a live podcast with CPU God about Bill Gates and stand-up.
Hell yeah. And then Brian just informed us that the ticket link will be in the episode description. So
no excuses.
No need to start stalking Robbie on social media. But you can. Nothing's stopping you. The ticket link being there doesn't discourage you from stalking Robbie on social media. Anyway, aside from that, is there anything else that... I should mention, I don't know, there's just great time overall and met a ton of great people in this movement, and really those things really like recharge my batteries and just make me feel great about everything that we're doing. All right. So while I was there, there was a
town. Do you look at Mount Rushmore? There. I got to know. Did you go?
Here's the thing, right? And this is what's frustrating is that they all did a trip to Mount Rushmore yesterday. And I was just like, look, man, like 5 days. I don't know. For those of you guys who got kids out there and families and stuff, you'll understand. 5 days with a pregnant wife and a 2.5-year-old is a lot of time to be gone. I'm completely a defeated man at this point. Like I can't even enjoy things anymore. Like even the part of me where I'm like, I'm going to have so much fun at Freedom Fest. This is going to be great. And I'm just sitting there like looking at pictures of my wife and daughter, like missing them. Yes, that's me now. So I was just like, listen, guy, I'm getting on this plane. I'm going home. However, after all the delays and everything that happened, I had more than enough time to get in that trip and then get home at the same time. But anyway, you live and you learn. But yeah, so a bunch of them, I think, went out to Mount Rushmore afterward. But what was I going to do? Go there, try to throw stuff at Lincoln, tell him he was a tyrant. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Cuts Clothing. I will tell you, as I was at Freedom Fest, I had a bunch of people who I met at the convention just walking down the halls who were like, dude, thank you so much for putting me on to Cuts Clothing. And a bunch of them were wearing the Cuts Clothing, the perfect tee, and they looked great. Every one of them looked great because Cuts Clothing took the classic men's fashion staple, the plain tee. They refined it, combining premium quality with a minimalist aesthetic. The result was the only t-shirt worth wearing. Cuts shirts, polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts are made for the man who works hard, plays hard, and never settles for less, all in the sport of business. In 2016, Cuts founder Steve Borelli set out to create clothes ready for every occasion the modern man faces. He started by reinventing the t-shirt and creating the only shirt worth wearing, as I told you, and creating what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing that I was just mentioning. The perfect t-shirt was accomplished. Next, Cuts set out to create fabric uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Check out their new hoodies, where they've developed Hyperloop French Terry fabric, a textile that's temperature controlled and ageless. You'll never have to take it off, and you certainly won't want to. Cuts is premium with a purpose. Each piece of clothing is designed with custom engineered fabric, expertly graded for the perfect fit, arming you for every challenge and every opportunity. Look, it's not just a lifestyle, it's not just clothing, it's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. And right now you can get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/POTP. That's cutsclothing.com/POTP for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. All right, let's get back into the show. I had a funny moment. They did it, this sketch. Mark Skousen, the guy who runs the whole festival, it's an awesome guy, is an economist, a really solid free market guy, and he runs the whole festival, and they were all great. By the way, I should just say thank you to Mark and Joanne and Valerie and Matt and just all the people who were involved in putting it together. They were great. Just a lot of fun to hang out with them. But so he does a thing where he comes out in Benjamin Franklin costume, and he goes full out, and he really looks like Benjamin Franklin. It's pretty amazing. But at one point, he's like doing this character, and I was on stage with him, and he goes, and it's, you know, it's packed, like a couple thousand people in the room, and, you know, a lot of them Republicans or whatever. And he goes, he was like, oh, let me look at Mount Rushmore. He goes, I recognize these people. I go, he's like, you know, George Washington, and everyone like claps, and I was like, mm-hmm. Solid. And he goes, Thomas Jefferson, and everybody claps. And I was like, great writer, unbelievable. And then he goes, but who are these other two gentlemen? And then I just went, they weren't that great. And it got like a big laugh from the audience, but it was pretty funny. Like the, just, what am I going to look at all these guys? All I see is a bunch of, you just look even at George Washington, you're like, you put down the Whiskey Rebellion. And then Thomas Jefferson, you're like, you were a terrible president. And then, oh my God, I mean, Lincoln and freaking Roosevelt. Yeah, got nothing good to say about them. Anyway, while I was gone, Joe Biden did a rare Joe Biden town hall, and I was literally just watching it as I came back on the not on the plane, in the airport.
He stutters. He was pretty impressive,
dude. There were some beautiful Joe Biden moments in this. You know, a lot of people, first off, the ratings tanked. They were terrible. No one wants to watch Joe Biden. It's part of the reason, I think, why the corporate press still wants to talk about Donald Trump all the time, because however you feel about him, he was a ratings driver. But I will defend, like, he did this CNN town hall, and they lost to Fox and MSNBC. They were in third place in the cable news race, and they had the president of the United States on for a town hall meeting, which is a very rare thing for him. He doesn't do a lot of them. And they still got beat by the other two cable news networks, which is in itself a really, I thought, like a really interesting thing. Like, holy shit, people don't even care. But I think that's crazy because Joe Biden has a lot of entertainment value, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's exciting to watch Joe Biden speak because at any given moment,
it can all be over.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly how I feel when I watch Joe Biden. Like, he is fighting to not lose everything. Like, he is always right on the verge, right against the cliff of not like a gaffe or a bad moment.
Has anybody seen my penis? Yes, I lost my penis this morning.
There might be a presidency ending moment, like a moment where the cameras cut out. We don't hear anything for 24 hours, and then it is announced that Joe Biden had a health problem and Kamala Harris is now the president. Like, this
China bribe
anytime.
Money hasn't come in yet. It was supposed to come in.
Well, there were a few moments that were noteworthy, that were worth going over. So, of course, the big thing that Joe Biden is trying to tackle is to get more people to take these vaccines, you know, and he's very upset about the vaccine hesitancy. So clearly, Joe Biden's job was to get up there and make you feel comforted and make you feel as though there's really nothing to worry about. Look, the experts are up there and they know exactly what the science is, and they would not be recommending these vaccines unless they were safe and COVID's terrible and they can get rid of it. So here's Joe Biden reassuring the American people that that the top minds are in charge.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you see, you know, it works. Or you know, or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people. If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or you know, whether those aliens are here or not. You know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking? You got the vaccine?
That was Joe Biden. Dude, you know, clearly the goal of this, right, was to reassure people that we know what we're talking about here and that this is fine. This is what Joe Biden goes up there and gives you. Like, I didn't understand one inch of any of that was. And then he does this thing where once he's just babbling and incoherently rambling, where he just goes, he's like, no, I really mean it. I really mean it. And you're like, mean what? And then he starts talking about kids believing in, what was it, in the moon or something?
Because when you go to the moon, man, and you're looking, and you think there's a face there, and it's looking down at you, man, and so you think, I want to be healthy too.
It would make sense after almost every Joe Biden sentence if he just said, I'm sorry, I'm just so high right now. Like, it would fit in perfectly. If you just cropped Joe Biden saying, I'm sorry, I am so goddamn high right now, it would work after almost any sentence he's uttered in the last decade.
Believing in vaccines like believing in aliens, but dude, the cool, the good aliens, man.
Dude, he had another moment.
Hey, D-Dog, you got the vax, right?
I mean, it's so funny that after years of talking about what a buffoon Donald Trump was, and I'm not arguing that he wasn't. Donald Trump is, you know, has a buffoonish way of speaking. He
would have stuck the landing on that, though. He would have just, such a good vaccine, okay? That's why everyone's taking it and they're not getting sick. They're so good.
No, listen, his problem was never like hammering home a simple point. He was great at that. That Donald Trump, he spoke like a third grader, which is what was very weird, I think, to a lot of people, and made a lot of people, you know, it was very easy to call him an idiot because there's a guy up there who's speaking. I mean, he spoke in
It's like a kid, in the lunchroom unpacking his lunch. Like, the lunch I got, so good. My mom, Look at the sandwich. Look at she sent Oreos. I love Oreos. They're so tasty.
He had such a limited vocabulary and he used incredibly simple words that most adults do not use, and that you're just not used to adults speaking in this manner. He kind of spoke like as if a kid was playing make-believe president. You know what I mean? Like, he would say things like, he was like, it's really, really good. So good. And you can't believe how good it is. You know, like, and it was just like so strange. But in some ways, this was his effective communication technique. And I think he realized that this actually did resonate with a lot of people. But when it came to, like, you know, assuring you that he was 100% right and knew everything, that Donald Trump was quite good at that. But Joe Biden now comes along and the entire corporate press, instead of attacking him, has to do this emperor has no clothes thing. Where they're just pretending that this isn't what we all see right in front of us. Like a guy who simply cannot get it together, who cannot string sentences together. So here was another great moment, the no-show video at 1 minute and 7 seconds, Brian. Here's another great moment of Joe Biden.
underway, just like the other question that's illogical. And I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. That's underway too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, that means you mean for the FDA?
For the FDA.
Yeah.
You got the vaccination.
That, all right. Yeah. Here, that's the clip I wanted to play. The question in that he was answering then is, when will children under 12 be vaccinated?
You sure the question was, hey, can you babble for 2 minutes? Can you show off your babbling skills? Mr. President, the country would like to see how you can babble about nothing for 2 minutes. Can you show it off for us?
Dude, what's it like to be Don Lemon up there when your job is to get him over the finish line? You know what I mean? Like, that's your job here, is to carry this guy through this without it being a disaster. Well, and you can see it.
Huh? D-Dog's good at not making sense, too. So to him, this might be just perfect English.
No. Even to him. Even he knows. I mean, look, I know he's not good and he's not the brightest man in the world. But even he's looking at that and being like, what? And what's so funny is you see him try to help him at the end. Well, he goes, so you're referring to the FDA and their temporary, you know, status.
FDA, what's that?
But it's like he's trying to give him like, here's what you meant. But can you imagine, like, if Trump had moments like that, what they would do to him? I mean, they would just simply go, sir, I didn't understand a word you just said. like that's all you would have to do, which is the truth. No one understood a word he just said. Sir, I have no idea what you're saying right now. But of course, you know, they're not going to do that to him. But these moments. So what's interesting is that, right, the dynamic now is that you have CNN getting less ratings. Again, I was really surprised by this. Less ratings than Fox and less ratings than MSNBC for having the president on a town hall meeting. And so what people are seeing of it are the clips that go viral. And wouldn't you believe it? Those first two clips we just showed you have been the clips that are going viral. So people really are seeing these moments. It's pretty stunning that he can't pull this off. You know, it'd be one thing if, you know, when there's this, like when Hillary Clinton testified about Benghazi, and they kept her in there, I think, for like 14 hours or something like that. Just
testifying. She didn't crack.
No, she did not. I mean, she had a few moments that were like, you know, bad things that she said, but she could do it and respond. And they kept asking her questions and she kept giving her bullshit answer in a professional voice. You know what I mean? But it's not like Joe Biden had to do that. You're talking about, this is the thing. You got 1 hour that you got to do this week. Probably his only town hall that he's done, maybe the second one since he's been president. Doesn't do many press conferences at all. It's just like, okay, this is the thing you got to do. We got to get you through this. You know he knows what all the questions are going to be. There's no surprises there. And he still just gets himself into this babbling nonsense. It's quite entertaining, to be honest. Okay.
I'd like to hear more about the moons and the aliens from him.
You know, I think we all would, Rob. But I doubt he even remembers having that conversation. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Fume, spelled F-U-M. Fume is the natural inhaler that makes it easy to get the benefits of superplants on the go. It's so simple. Fume is a Canadian-made wooden inhaler. No electronics, no chemicals added. It's just filled only with the benefits of superplants. Fume is a natural and portable tool for allergy relief, relaxation, and it's a great nicotine replacement tool with its pocket fit. I've been using it for the Conquer Cores. I've cut way back on vaping. I highly recommend it. If you're a smoker or a vapor and you're trying to cut back or quit, check out their Conquer Cores. That's their best-selling core. But they got a ton of other ones too, like I said, for allergy relief, for relaxation. Go check out the whole program at breathefume.com/problem. That's breathe, breathefume.com/problem. And use promo code PROBLEM10. You'll get 10% off and you can breathe in the benefits of the world's super plants today. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, so the other thing that the other clip that's really going viral that I thought actually was the one that you would be most interested in, and I was certainly most interested in too, is that, you know, because we spend a lot of time on this show talking about economics. I think they're very important and something that our society does not have a widespread firm understanding of. But here's Joe Biden to explain to us how economics work, and that, in fact, it turns out me and you have been wrong about a whole lot. So the question is, what is your administration doing to ensure the poor and middle class are not hurt by higher prices?
Well, beans and hot dogs.
Yes, they're inflation. That's right. Inflation has been a big topic. And so they're going to ask Joe Biden the hard-hitting questions. And I mean, look, you can already see by this freeze film that he's about to give you a great Joe Biden answer to it. And he's just like, hey, what do you mean with the prices? Yeah. All right, let's hit play.
I seem pretty confident that, inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, look, here's the deal. Moody's today went out, Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation.
Okay, hold
reduce
on.
Inflation.
Let's pause it right here already. So I love this. It's a great way to start it. So there, you know, it's of course, this is CNN and their understanding of inflation and economics. So it's already just like, so you got to dumb this down 75 levels to get to where they are. But even Don Lemon can look at it and say, well, you know, we sure are printing a ton of money and things seem to be costing more money. Any connection there? You know, like even he can pose that question to it. And I love, and this is, here's what's beautiful, right? Is that I really do think this old game that they play is really falling apart and not working as well anymore. And here's the game. Joe Biden, he's an old school fucking, you know, 80-year-old politician. So he just falls right back into the game, right? And the game always is, right? Even the Republicans admit this, or then the Republicans say, even the Democrats admit this. And of course, you're supposed to think that there's only two options of the way you can possibly think. There's only two sides. And so if even the other side admits this, well, then you'd have to be crazy to not go along with it. So the first thing he talks about, right, is they're talking about his inflationary policies. And by the way, when he's talking about if what I propose we're able to do, he's talking about spending, like, I believe it's either $5 or $6 trillion more dollars. So just printing up trillions more, spending trillions more from the federal government. And he goes, even Moody's, not some left-wingers, a Wall Street firm, even they're all for us printing all this money. Just really just incredible, like, that's your initial go-to defense of whether the inflation is hurting the American workers. But even Wall Street likes this easy money policy. So, like, I mean, you got everyone from all sides of the political spectrum, Democrats to Wall Street. You know, that's the range. And all of them are saying, yeah, print more. It'll do nothing but good. Anyway, here, bring it back to the very beginning of the clip, because I just wanted to point out that thing, but I want you guys to get, like, the full sense of how this went.
I seem pretty confident that, inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, here's the deal. Moody...
He turns to the side like, wait, is someone over there? And he's like, man, how did this guy get here? Did you see that look on his face? Like,
yeah, he's like, he goes, wait, and listen, what? People, and that's why I told my grandpa you have to try this sliced bread. And then, like, he's like, but couldn't printing all this money? And he's like, huh? A Negro?
Where'd he come from?
Whoa, at security, you let this Negro get right close to me. Please. Like, he interrupts him right away. And he's like, but couldn't printing a ton of money lead to... He's like, oh, no. Oh, it's great.
That's not the way money works.
Everything. Just ask Wall Street. All right, let's watch.
Moody's today went out, Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will in fact reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who in fact are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about, driving down prices, not raising prices. And so It is. I sincerely mean it.
Already just so offensively stupid that so we're going to spend money, and then those people that we hand the money to are also going to spend the money, and the result of the increase in spending, the money multiplier effect, costs are going to come down. The money multiplier, according to Joe Biden, brings down costs, and that's the way inflation works. The more we spend, the less things will cost. The more demand there is for goods, the less things will cost.
It's not even correct bullshit Keynesian economics. He doesn't even have the argument that he would be trying to make is that this will lead to economic growth. That's an argument that people make, but not that this will reduce inflation.
No, the money multiplier reduces costs.
It's literally
because as demand goes up, prices come down. It's like gravity.
It's literally called the money multiplier. No one's arguing that it has a deflationary effect on the economy. But and then Joe Biden here, just bring it back a few seconds, Brian, because then he gets into the thing that he did on the last one where I really mean it. I really mean it. Like, why do you have to inform us that you really meant this? Joe Biden, let me let you know on behalf of the American people. This is profoundly more disturbing if you really mean it. Please convince me that you're just saying bullshit that you don't really mean. Because if you really mean that printing a ton of money and then giving it to people who you think are most likely to spend the money immediately will reduce inflation, we may have some problems on our hands.
The more we spend, the more prices come down, man. I mean, we just got to get out there and spend more, man. Just get out there.
The fact that this can even be argued, like that people are so clueless on economics that you could even say something like this. Or to their credit, I mean, this video was going viral for how ridiculous it was. But this is like that we're actually watching this fucking like Zimbabwe-esque monetary policy. And that this is what our politicians are telling us. As they're spending this money and we're starting to really feel the inflation, it's like, no, dude, the more money you print, the more you control inflation. It reduces inflation to print money. So you got to just print money. I mean, if that's the case, then I guess we could pretty easily just reduce all inflation, right?
Just spend all the money.
Yeah, like, I mean, we could print $100 trillion tomorrow and live in a really deflationary economy. Because
our money will be worth more.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be able to buy even more goods and services with our current amount of money because the more they spend, the more valuable money becomes. This is really, I mean, someone should be running this up to the Federal Reserve because this is shocking information and really changes the way we should be operating.
Evidently, we've been wrong about every economic inclination that we've had for the years.
We should also see if we can breathe underwater and if maybe we can just, I'm going to jump off the building. Who knows? Maybe I can fly.
Yeah, when you're drowning, and Joe Biden just goes, add more water, more water. This is what's going to save
you. That's equally stupid. That's equally stupid.
Yeah. It's literally the exact same thing. Look, the argument, the Keynesian argument, which is a completely flawed argument, is that if you give money to, let's say, the rich, like in the form of, say, tax breaks or something like that, that rich people tend to save and invest. Whereas middle class, working class people tend to spend the money. Now, in that part is certainly true, right? Like if you go to someone who's, living paycheck to paycheck and they get an extra $100 in their paycheck, it's not as if they're going to take that and start investing in some portfolio. It's just they got bills, they got things to spend. They're going to go and spend that money. Whereas rich people are already saving and investing. They'll save and invest more. The argument is that it creates more economic activity when people spend their money immediately, right? So there's just more transactions happening, more economic activity going on, and that overall creates more economic growth. Now, of course, there's a lot of counter arguments to that, which is like, do you really think the problem in America is that we don't have enough spending and we have too much saving and investing? And in fact, like, you know, it's a much stronger argument that we need more saving and investing and that we spend way too much money. And also the idea of like there is some truth to the fact that if you spend your money now, you get more economic activity now. However, that's not really what makes a society wealthier. And when you save money or invest money, you're increasing your ability to grow your economy in the future. you know, in a more sound way rather than just like spending it all right now. And in other words, it's like for just like on the individual level, like you could put a percentage of your paycheck this week into savings or you could spend it all. Now, if you spend it all, you get more stuff. So in a sense, your economy immediately improves because you got more stuff. But that's not exactly a great argument to spend every dollar you have, because what about, you know, tomorrow?
So, well, I think what you're missing here is that Biden's plan will actually increase savings because people spend more money. Your prices are actually going to be going down. And so more people are going to realize, oh, I should hold on to my money because prices keep coming down.
It's literally what he's saying here is on the same level of if you liquidate your 401k and spend all of the money in the next week, you'll increase your retirement savings. No. I really mean it. I'm being serious. You know, like, okay, you really mean it, but that is batshit crazy. Okay, here's a few more minutes of our president.
Because you're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who, in fact, are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about, driving down prices, not raising prices. And so I sincerely mean this. Prices are up now, and they're up. For example, you're in a position where you're trying to build a house, try to find 2x4s and lumber. Well, guess what? People stop working cutting lumber. They stopped doing it because the unemployment was so down. Now, all of a sudden, there's this need because people are coming back. And guess
that was something that the Democrats were denying for months. Firstly, he's an idiot because I believe that lumber prices have come back down. So in other words, that would actually be a better example for his story. And if he was intelligent, what he would say is that there's been supply side issues because of the coronavirus and people are getting back to work. And look at lumber. There was a squeeze on lumber. Prices are coming down. I can tell you guys it's just supply side and prices are going to be coming back. He could say that. He's such a dumbass that firstly, he gets the lumber thing wrong. And then he also admits that the unemployment has kept people from going to work, which is in part a bad economic policy, which is something that they was obvious and also that they've been denying for months.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Nailed it. All right, let's keep playing.
So now all of a sudden there's this need because people are coming back. And guess what? Instead of paying 10 cents, you're paying 20. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It relates to what in fact is now needed because we're growing.
Okay, so you heard it here first. The price of a 2x4 has gone from 10 cents all the way up to 20 cents. Can't believe you got to drop 20 cents. I mean, that's half your paycheck right there, 20 cents. Hey, Joe Biden, in his defense, he might think it's 1927. So he might have the prices completely right. It could turn out that all of his information is correct. He just doesn't know what the year is. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say.
That's where he's at with dementia, is that, like, if we were in the 80s, he'd be the perfect president. Like, he literally has all facts and figures and everything figured out for the year 1986. We're just not in that year.
He's dead right about everything. Like, it's just like if you ran it back then, you went, this guy's actually got a photographic memory. It just stops. It's like,
just call Gorbachev right now and tell him the following.
Oh, shit. But it is, you know, look, how much is Joe Biden really calling the shots in his White House? Certainly, what influence is he really having on monetary policy? You know, who knows? Probably not much. You got to imagine that Joe Biden's handlers are kind of taking care of all of this stuff. Like, he just literally this hour here just took everything out of him. He's going back to the, you know, Oval Office and being told where to sign would be my guess. But it is something to have, you know, him talking about his proposals, which are already, I mean, just like the most wild government spending frenzy in human history. And he's saying he wants to spend $6 trillion more dollars. And that his view of this is that this will bring inflation under control is hard to even wrap your head around how goofy the position this country has gotten into. Like, again, I mean, you're almost, in a weird way, you're almost prepared for like this, the argument on the other side that we face all the time, you know, but like the kind of like interventionist Keynesian, you know, or even like the MMT like arguments or something, like any of those, you know, you're prepared to have someone like explain to you that like, you know, we need to print all this money because the true risk is a deflationary crisis, not an inflationary crisis. And so we have to print all this money and we believe we can control inflation and it won't get too bad. But the argument that printing money will cause deflation is like really, I'll tell you, it's effective in the sense that it leaves you with your jaw dropped to the point that you don't even know how to like start a counter argument. Like, not just like, it's not just saying like, oh, I got to punch you in the face because, you know, whatever reason. It's like, yeah, it's going to suck that I punch you in the face, but we got to do it. It's like, no, this will make your face feel better. Just sit here and let me punch you. It's really great. It makes your face feel better. It'll actually clear up any bruises that you have if you just let me sock you as hard as I can in your face. Oof. There's where Biden's at. And this'll no doubt, you know, be
moments like this, you gotta be happy that there's a deep state that actually runs things.
Yeah. You know, there weirdly is some truth to that. And I'm sure that it is true that, and I think to some degree this was true with Trump being president, right? Is that the way the American system actually works, like, you know, the founders' vision or what the Constitution laid out, the idea was like, okay, well, you're going to have all of these checks and balances and very limited power vested in the federal government. And that will kind of keep society free and keep society stable, because even if you get like one really bad guy in there, I mean, what can he really do? You know, like even if you have some horrible president, well, he can't even declare a war himself. He needs Congress to do that.
Or represent Russia. Russia worked so hard to get him in, right. And he can't even do anything for him.
Well, so this was the founders' vision, right? That checks and balances and limited power will kind of maintain a stable order in our government and a free society. Well, that obviously is all gone. I mean, that's just not how our government works at all. But in reality, the way our government works now is that there is essentially a ruling oligarchy that is completely separate from what is seen by the plebs. So it's not, you know, in the same way that like, yeah, I know I've made this comparison a bunch of times on the podcast in the past, but the same way, you know, if like the mafia owns some store and, you know, like they're money laundering. So like they have like an auto parts store or something like that. But all the guys hanging out in there are like the killers, and they go do their killing and robbing and shit, you know, like on the back end. But then if you come in there, they really will change your brakes or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, okay, come on in, or here, we'll sell you a new muffler, whatever. I'm not a car guy. Sorry. That's as good as I could do. But so what you see of the government, the democracy and the primaries and all of that, that's the storefront, you know? But what's really going on there is the deep state and you know, all the three-letter organizations and stuff. So we have this kind of permanent ruling government that are unelected, that don't change from president to president, right? So like the people who are like, you know, they may appoint a new head here or there, but even them, they're kind of like all the bureaucrats and all these kind of permanent, you know, fixtures that go back, you know, through many different administrations. All these different power sources exist. And in a sense, that has become to some degree a stabilizing force in America. Like, and this is actually what some of the really like, you know, more, not honest isn't necessarily the word, but some of the people who really defend the world order, the Henry Kissinger types, or even like the Carol Quigley types or people like that, this is part of the reason why they defend it. They're like, there is this whole connected group, but this is what keeps world hegemony, and this is what keeps, you know, things from going off the rails. And this is to some degree why a president like Donald Trump doesn't shake things up at all. I mean, you had the Democratic vote was as clear as could be that we want a shakeup, right? Like, we just put Donald Trump in the White House. We do not want the status quo. We want this at least perceived outsider. And how come things don't get shaken up at all? Well, because that's not really who runs the government. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if Trump's in or Biden's in or whatever in terms of what the government's going to do. I mean, around the edges, little bits here and there. But so in that sense, like, you know, as evil as this system is, and because they have such concentrated power, they've gotten they've fallen victim more and more to their own hubris. They've consolidated more and more power, and they're at this point on like a homicide-suicide mission with the United States of America. So it's a real problem at this point. However, it is also the force that makes you not concerned that the president is a dementia patient. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, as much as we like laugh around at all this stuff, it's really not something that we're concerned about. It's not like you're like, oh, Joe Biden is actually losing it and he might just come up there tomorrow and just be like, yeah, you know, there's a, we got to invade Czechoslovakia. And they're like, that country hasn't existed for decades. And he's like, invade them, you know, like, but you're not really concerned about that because he's not really the one who's running the show. And there's so many other competing forces. So as evil as the whole system is, there is something to the fact that there are checks and balances within the system. The problem is that it doesn't do what the founders intended it to do at all, which was basically limit power of the federal government. There's checks and balances now that ensure that there will be increasing power in the federal government. So that's the problem. Okay, that's our show for today. We will be hitting you with a bunch of episodes this week. So stay tuned. Enjoy. I love you all.
Yeah, and apparently I was hitting the wrong cough button the whole time. So if you guys heard my farts throughout the episode, I apologize.
You were just turning the volume up?
Yeah, apparently, because I'm dumb. But Robbie the Fire, all one word on YouTube. I'm posting more clips from the Run Your Mouth podcast. August 14th, going to be out in Nashville. And then, of course, me and Davey Smith, we've got Washington, D.C. right around the corner and Rochester later in the month. So if you live in those areas, definitely come out because we got the jokes.
There we go. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.